brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing God's will for our life is a very important matter for many, many Christians. And repeatedly, there are situations in our life where we've got to make some major decisions. And in those moments, there are some of us who have absolutely agonized over knowing God's will. And maybe you've said it, and I've certainly said it, if only the Lord would send us an email from heaven to let us know what he wants us to do. Hasn't happened to me yet, but I'm still waiting. Young man Jim had recently fallen in love, and he was smitten by the beauty of a young lady in his youth group. But Jim was a very keen Christian, and he was concerned what God's will was in the matter. So there was a weekend youth camp on, and at the youth camp he spoke to the youth pastor about it because he wanted to know God's will. He mentioned that he and his lady friend shared many common interests, they liked each other, and yet, he said, I'm not sure whether she is the one God has actually planned for me. Do you think it would be right if I got more involved? Do you think it would be okay if I kissed her? Now, the youth pastor had dealt with those sort of things before, and so he suggested, he said, Jim, tonight before the evening program, why don't you just stand quietly outside and just under the stars, pray and ask God what to do? Now, what Jim and the youth pastor didn't know was that at the camp, the walls of the room were very thin. And in the next room, Jim's mates had been listening to every word he said. What's more, they knew that Jim had a habit of praying out loud. And so that night, just outside the building under the stars, in a very poetic mood, Jim stood up and he said, Father up above, should I kiss the girl I love? And down from the roof of the building came the reply, Sinner down below, pucker up and let her go. Seriously, congregation, knowing God's will, how many of us here haven't struggled with that at times? Particularly in decision-making. Young people who are trying to work out what line of study they should follow at university, or maybe what about my future job? What vocation should I follow? Families who are to make some difficult choices about whether or not to move house. Or sometimes even in the very ordinary little things like buying another car. What would God really have us do? That's important not only when it comes to decision making. What about those times when trouble hits our family? Or when we get some major dramas in our church community? In those moments you can't help but ask yourself, wonder what God's plan is? What is God's purpose in all of this? What does he have planned for me and for the future that I can't yet see? This morning our text tells us that there is a will of God that is hidden, that is secret. I'm sure that as we're gathered here this morning as a community of this church, that we don't doubt that for a moment. There is a will of God that is all-embracing. It's involved in the throw of every dice in a game of Monopoly. It's already decided or worked out the outcome of every event in this year's Olympic Games later in the year. It's got within its scope your studies and your work, as well as your love life. Because God has said that nothing, absolutely nothing, happens apart from his sovereign will. Everything is included in it. And as Christians who try to live lives that are pleasing to God, we long to know that will. We're keen to live in harmony with that will. This morning it's not too hard for us to imagine that Israel at this point of time also really longed to know God's will. Setting of our text here is that they're on the other side of the Jordan, they're about to cross over into the land of Canaan. Here on the very borders of the promised land, God's covenant with them is being renewed. These people must have had all the questions that we so often have. There was the past. Just keep in mind, behind them there lay 40 years of seemingly aimless desert wanderings. And they must have asked over and over and over again, why, why? Well, of course, they knew that their sin was the cause of it, but what was the purpose of those 40 years? What did they serve in God's will? You see, if all things work together for good for God's people, as we know from the New Testament, then how did those 40 years fit in with the good that God wanted for his people? And then, of course, well, there was the future. Ahead of them lay unknown obstacles in an unknown land. So there was the past they didn't understand and a future they couldn't see. And when we're caught up in that situation, we want to know. When the moment of crisis comes, or a moment of decision, we want to know what is the will of God. Because we want to live in harmony with that will of God, we want to do it for his glory, and we want to do it for our own peace of mind. And yet, congregation, brothers and sisters, it is at that crucial point of covenant renewal, as Israel is about to cross the Jordan, that God tells Moses to teach Israel this: the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Just mentioned here the setting of covenant renewal. That means God's partnership with Israel is being reaffirmed. And yet, as that process of covenant renewal draws to a close, Israel is reminded that a close relationship with God, a partnership with God, that doesn't yet give us insight into the mind of God. In other words, standing in a personal relationship with the living God, that doesn't allow us yet to see everything as God sees it. And I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, this morning, there are some secrets. In fact, there are lots of secrets that God is not sharing with us. At this point, we're really being called to remember who God is and who we are. God is sovereign, he is totally in control, he's the Lord of the universe. He's the Almighty God who is infinitely beyond our understanding. He's the God who, as the hymn writer said, moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. And we, well, we're just frail creatures of dust, creatures of time. And we can only see God's plans for us after they've all happened. Someone once put it this way. The person said, if you want to know God's plan for this world, then curl up with a history book on a rainy afternoon, because it's all there. And if you want to know what God's plan is for this coming Wednesday, then just wait till Thursday morning and you'll know. The secret things of God are in the mind of God. They're hidden from us. I guess, congregation, that means that we as Christians had better be very, very careful when we talk about knowing God's will in certain situations. And there I've at times where I've been deeply troubled by the way in which evangelical Christians so often speak too confidently about knowing God's will. Let me give you an example. About 100 years ago, when I was at the theological college, there was another young man there who also enrolled in the same year. And he was very quick to tell everyone that he was there because God had guided him and led him. He knew it was God's will for him to study for the ministry. But you know, when the first lot of exams came in the middle of the year, he was ready to call it quits and said, I'll see the year out, but then I'm not coming back next year. And when people asked why, he said, well, God has made it clear to me that he's telling me I need to move on. And the cynical part of me would say, well, so God changed his mind? The unchanging God tells you 1 minute to go to theological college to prepare for the ministry, and then the next moment move on to something else. Brothers and sisters, I know that many of us here this morning are genuinely concerned about seeking God's will. And there are times when we pour a lot of effort and a lot of energy in trying to work it all out. And I have come across people who are deeply anxious lest somehow they find themselves outside the will of God. I'm probably being a little bit controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. It seems to me that that has precious little to do with biblical authority. It usually fails to recognize the secret things belonging to the Lord our God. What on earth makes us think that just because a few special people in the Bible, like Paul in Acts 16, were given special direct guidance in very special circumstances, that therefore we must expect the same thing to happen to us? Now, congregation, I'm not saying that God can't guide Christians in very special ways. I'm talking about our expectation. Let me zero in on another matter, a very sensitive but relevant issue with this whole subject, and that's marriage breakdown. When the marriage of someone in our family or someone in the church breaks down, some of us struggle with the issue of God's will in the matter. And I remember on one occasion someone said to me, did they maybe get married when it wasn't God's will? Or even more tellingly, someone said to me, what if it is not God's will for them to get together again? Others ask the same question when it comes to disease and life-threatening illnesses. Do we pray for healing? Or do we get to the point where people ask, maybe it's God's will for her not to get better again, and we just need to pray for God to release this person into the next life? Brothers and sisters, I want to say all of those are futile questions. God knows, but God is not saying, and we mustn't pretend to know. The secret things belong to our God, and our knowledge is always, always limited. At the same time this morning, I wouldn't want us to overlook the positive side of this first part of our text. The text doesn't just tell us that the meaning of the past and the shape of the future, that's all unknown, full stop, end of story. If that's all there is to it, then it's not a very comfortable teaching, is it? The unseen aspects of life, the secret things, they are not the fickle fingers of fate. Now, our text says those secret things belong to the Lord our God. They're not meaningless events. They're not random, senseless happenings. No, they're in the hands of Yahweh, our covenant-keeping God. In other words, living in a covenant relationship with God, that doesn't mean you have all the answers to all your questions about the will of God. But what a covenant relationship with God allows you to do is to live by faith, being able to trust that God in all the ups and downs of your life. You see, covenant living, that's a tremendously liberating thing. It's the kind of life, living in covenant with God, where I don't have to sit down all the time and scratch my head and try and puzzle it out like a jigsaw puzzle, whether something fits in with God's will or whether it doesn't. Instead, it means I can simply get up and get on with living by faith, to launch out in the certainty, and I want to do that prayerfully, that's true, but to get on with life, knowing he's got it all in his hands. The secret things, they are not fate. Those hidden things that belong to God, they're in the hands of your loving Heavenly Father. Maybe it seems that up till now all I've said flies in the face of all you've ever learnt about guidance. Maybe it seems to you this morning that I'm saying, let's forget about knowing God's will, for it's hidden anyway. Let's just live as responsibly as we know how. Decisions, well, we just make them as best we can. We make them prayerfully. And for the rest, we just move on in faith. Up to a point, congregation, that's exactly what I'm saying. But our text has a little more this morning. It also talks about the revealed will of God. It goes on to say, yes, the secret things do indeed belong to the Lord our God. But then it says, but the revealed things belong to us and to our children forever. In other words, while it is true that you do not have an inside line into the mind of God about every situation, what you do have is the great and holy and immense privilege of having the Word of God. We do know a great deal about the will of God, and we know that, congregation, through this book, through the scriptures. Because that's what this verse is now talking about. Our Bible, a whole book full of things that God has revealed to us. And for Israel at this time in Deuteronomy, it was just the writings of Moses, the law of God with its blessings and its curses. For us, it's the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And so whatever secret God kept from Israel, and whatever God in his sovereignty keeps from us, there is a tremendous lot that God has made known to you. And what Israel was being told here in our text congregation and what we're being told this morning is that this revealed will of God is that is all we need to know to live life as God wants you to live it. It is adequate for your decision making. It is enough to help you to understand the past, that history is his story. It's sufficient to give you confidence for the future that tomorrow and next week and the rest of your life is in his hands. And next time when you struggle to know the will of God, please, please don't get anxious trying to work out what you do not know, God's secret will. Instead, devote yourself to what you do know, God's word. Because in Scripture, God has given us enough principles to help us in our decision making, enough to help us to deal with our family problems, our marriage difficulties, our church issues, provided we devote ourselves to that which God has revealed. And so God is saying this morning to us, these secret things, they're mine, and I'll take care of that. But this Bible, this book, that's yours, and it's for your children and their children forever and ever. And that's all you need to get on with the business of living, your marriage, in your home, and in your church. In all our talking about the will of God then, congregation, we've got one very, very important point of reference, the Scriptures, God's revealed word. In fact, I want to ask you to turn over a chapter to chapter 30, where God tells Israel that this will of God, that's not difficult to come to terms with. That's not hard to find out. Chapter 30. Let me read to you from verse 11. Now what I'm commanding you today, in other words what God has revealed, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No! The word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. Notice how close these revealed things are to us. The will of God is not distant. It's not difficult. It is a word so much ours. It belongs to us so totally. It's in our mouth. In our hearts, we've been reading it all our life. But please turn over a moment to Romans chapter 10, because when Paul quotes this passage, he does something very interesting with it. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Someone got a page number for the Pew Bibles? 1120. Sorry? 1120. Romans 10. Paul quotes these words in verses 6 to 8 of Romans 10, and he does something strange with them. Verse 6, Moses describes in this way, and then he goes on to say, but the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will descend into heaven? And then Paul adds in brackets, that is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we're proclaiming. Notice how Paul applies that word to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's beautiful, congregation, because the word of God has come closer to us than ever in our Lord Jesus. And in Jesus, God has given the revealed things a depth and a richness that they never had for Israel. Suddenly, because of Jesus, we get a whole new outlook on the will of God. In fact, Jesus has made known some of the secret things about the future. So we've got the book of Revelation. Some things we would otherwise never have known. Things Israel didn't have a clue about. In fact, congregation, God has now revealed to all humanity the destiny of every human being. where our lives will ultimately end up. God has revealed that. It's no longer secret. Trust in Jesus and you'll have eternal life with God. And you can be certain of spending eternity with him. But reject him and reject the salvation he offers, you can be absolutely certain of a place reserved in a burning fire of hell. That was a secret for Moses. It's a secret you know. Today there is no more important aspect of knowing God's will, congregation, than what is revealed to us by God in the gospel of salvation through Jesus. And in all our decision making, and in all our problem solving, and in all our health issues, and whatever happens, it's that gospel message of Christ that must always have our highest concern and our first priority. How then do you and I put this into practice in our daily, ordinary life again tomorrow and this coming week? The only real certainty that we can have about knowing the will of God is the revealed will of God in the Bible. If the only guide that I normally have in my decision making and in my problem solving is the Bible, how do I use the Bible to help me in my difficult choices? How do I use it to put my life together again when it falls apart? Suppose, congregation, you could do it the way that a businessman did when he was in financial trouble. He'd heard that Christians often turn to their Bible for guidance, and he thought, well, that's a good idea, and he got a knitting needle, jabbed it between the pages of the Bible, and looked where the needle was pointing. Trouble is, it pointed to the words, and Judas went and hanged himself. Didn't sort of seem quite appropriate advice to him, so he thought he'd give it another bash and stuck the needle in, and this time he opened up, and where the needle read, go and do likewise. We don't use the Bible that way. We don't use the Bible as a crystal ball. The way some people read the horoscopes or their tarot cards. In fact, congregation, did you notice what our text says right at the end of this verse, at the end of chapter 29? It says, so that we will obey them. And in chapter 30, verse 14, where Moses reminds them that this word, this revealed matter, is in their hearts and in their mouth, thereto he adds, so that you may obey it. In other words, the way of living in harmony with the will of God, it's not first of all by seeking God's special guidance. Hey, if God in a rare situation does give it to you, that's a bonus. It's not first of all by looking for signs, and it troubles me how often some Christians talk about putting out fleeces the way that Gideon did. They're always putting out fleeces. Now, it's first of all living in obedience with the revealed will of God, the Word of God. And it's only in that way that we find ourselves in harmony with God's plans and God's purposes. It's in the way of obedience that we prove what the perfect will of God is, what that is in decision making, and what that is in coping with our problems, or even just everyday, ordinary, nitty-gritty living. Paul put it this way in Romans 12, verse 2. He says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, living in obedience to the scriptures. And then he adds, then you will be able to test and approve that God's will, what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. To conclude this morning, congregation, I could sum up that there are then two aspects to the will of God. On the one hand, there is the secret or hidden will of God, that God has absolute, total control of everything that happens in your life. And your response and my response ought to be that of trust. Faith in such a God who has the minute moments of our life in his hand. On the other hand, there is also the revealed will of God, that God lets us know his moral law, his gospel, and biblical principles for Christian living. And our response to that ought to be one of obedience. And congregation, it is in that way, faith and obedience, trust and obey, that we will find our lives to be lived in harmony with God's will. Let's bow in prayer.